Welcome to KHD Bible Study Podcast. My name is Reb Emanuel. I'm a teacher and an elder at Kehilat HaDerech Messianic Synagogue in New York City. Each week, I lead a detailed study from a Messianic Jewish perspective into the Holy Scriptures, chapter by chapter, adding historical context to the events, people, and places. Each week, passionate people gather to read the scriptures, discuss the significance, and ask questions that help to bring out a deeper understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We hope you will join us as we explore the 12 prophets. Okay, thank you all for coming. Tonight, we complete the reading of the book of Hosea. Before we begin, I want to give everyone a good understanding of what I believe Hosea is about. But also, I want to show you how the prophet's words have some real effect today and tomorrow. So let me go back a little bit, indulge me. The Crusades, we all recognize, we all know what they are. The Crusades were put out by European kings to go and attempt to conquer the Holy Land, pretty much from 1095 of the Common Era, the present era, until 1291. They attempted to establish a Christian foothold in Jerusalem and in the Holy Land. In the process, many Jews were slaughtered. This is the beginning also of the same period, this same time period is the beginning of when Jews were forcibly expelled or converted in many nations in the world. Babylonians, Greeks, and Romans thought if they could destroy the temples, then the people would cease to exist. And in some ways, the Crusades thought that they could also wipe out the Jewish people and establish their own narrative. In the end, the daily sacrifices would be wiped out. So they thought that the Greeks, the Babylonians, the Romans thought that they could end all of the daily sacrifices. And in the process, the Jewish people would no longer be able to worship their invisible God. The Assyrians, going even further back, the Assyrians thought by killing and carrying off the northern 10 tribes, that they would also put an end to Israel. Yet through all of these things, Adonai turned the dispersal of his people into a global blessing. And now we see that the lost tribes are seeking the God of Israel, even if they don't know their own ancestry. Those people who have been dispersed through the centuries, and the expulsions from Europe and the expulsions from Assyria, from Babylon, from Rome, have only led to a further growing of the people of God, a further growing of the Jewish people in particular. So why this constant cycle of captivity, destruction, exile, captivity, destruction, exile? Is it true? Has Adonai actually abandoned his people? Well, I can tell you this, that the Crusaders and other faiths, I won't mention their names, but we all know who they are, saw the constant struggles, and they assumed that God must be taking a different direction. Over the centuries, people have tried to assert that these struggles that the Jewish people keep going through are proof that God has given up on them. Well, I'm here to say that that is a shocking lack of understanding of the actual Holy Scriptures. There are two narratives that are being played out in today's world that relate directly to the events of the Holy Scriptures. Number one, the Jewish people are locked in a cycle of oppression and violence. It's happening right now. Number two, the lost 10 tribes are still dispersed, hidden inside the nations of the world. So that leaves us with the problem, because the Holy Scriptures speak of a time when there will be peace on earth. So how do we get there from here? How do we get to peace on earth from where we are right now? And how do we explain all of these constant battles, the captivity, the exile, the dispersions? Believe it or not, the answer is in the same Holy Scriptures. The underlying message of the prophets and the Brit Hadashah, or the New Testament, is, and I'm going to summarize them for you really, really quick. There will be a time of trouble for the whole earth. Then all the tribes of Israel will be reunited with the Jewish people in Israel. And the very nature of all life on earth, plants, trees, animals, fish, humans, will all be changed. And all the nations will be ruled by a heavenly monarchy, a kingship with multiple kings. The Jewish people today are looking for Melech HaMashiach. If you listen carefully, you'll hear them say it. Melech HaMashiach, the King Messiah. They're looking for the King Messiah to bring about what they call Geula, or in English, the redemption. Rabbi Yeshua referred to this time as Malkut Elohim. Well, of course, when you filter that through Greek and then it comes into English, it becomes the kingdom of God. But what I want to say, and what I want us to understand, is that the two are the same. The redemption is Malchut Elohim, or the kingdom of Elohim, or the kingdom of God. The redemption is also the kingdom of God. They're the same, one and the same. The Hebrew word for redemption is Geula. The Hebrew word for exile is gole. If you look at them in Hebrew, the two words are almost exactly alike. There's one small difference between redemption and exile in Hebrew. One single letter, it's an aleph. It sits between the gimel and the vav, the first two letters of both words. An aleph. Keep that in mind as we go forward. The establishment of the kingdom of God is the beginning of the redemption of the whole house of Israel from exile. The fate of the entire world, the entire earth, is actually the redemption of the children of Israel. The whole house of Israel, the lost 10 tribes, and the Jewish people will be joined together in Israel, and the rest of the nations will become Malchut Elohim. Literally, the kingdom of God. That's the whole destiny. That's the whole scriptures. That's everything all summarized into one. So has Adonai abandoned the house of Judah? Or has he abandoned the house of Joseph? No. That's what the prophets have given to us. They've given to us multiple messages. And today I want to filter it down so that we can just focus on them, at least in the book of Hosea, and keep it in mind when we go forward into the rest of the 12. Now, how does that affect us today? Well, around the world today, people from all walks of life, all ethnicities, all languages, kind of feel something deep inside of their chest, something in their head, something that disturbs them. They feel sickened by the evil, the anti-Semitism, and the injustice that they see in the world. There are people who are not happy with the anti-Semitism, the protests in the streets. They feel some kind of way. They can't. Some people go out and protest. They counter protest. But there are others of us who feel this. Why are they doing this? Why are they against these people? Haven't they suffered enough? That feeling we're going to talk about. That feeling is the beginning of the connection to the land of Israel, to Eretz Yisrael. It's the beginning. And some people don't even know what it is. They just know it doesn't feel right. What's happening is that the descendants of the lost tribes of Israel are beginning to awaken. They are awakening from a long, sinful sickness that has kept them in the dark. A long, sinful sickness. Rabbi Yeshua, centuries ago, was confronted by the Pharisees, not all Pharisees, some Pharisees, who objected to a Torah scholar sitting down to eat with tax collectors. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, and now I'm going to read to you from Matthew 9, verse 11, why does this teacher of yours eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard this, Yeshua said, those who are healthy have no need for a doctor, but those who are sick do. Now, go and learn what this means. Mercy I desire and not sacrifice. For I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinful. Matthew 9, 11 through 13. Now, before we go any further, I want to explain something. Matthisyahu, or Matthew, was an Orthodox Jew, and he was writing to Jews like himself. This might sound a little shocking to some people. It might be new to others. But the Brit Hadashah, or the New Testament, was not written for Gentiles, but it was written for Jews. As such, Matthisyahu, he knew his audience. So he knew when he was writing his narrative, his gospel, that he only needed to quote a portion of the prophet. Because in the mind of the Jewish reader who studied Torah every week, they would fill in the rest when they saw the first few words. So that's why that phrase that you heard from Yeshua and Matthew merely sounds like something completely different, but it isn't. And I'm going to show you where it is. What Rabbi Yeshua was saying, what he was telling the Pharisees was to learn what Hosea was saying. He knew Hosea was written for Israelites just before the fall of the Northern Kingdom. They were sick, lost in sin, about to be punished. Many of them would be killed and carried away from their homelands. So why would Yeshua make this statement to the Pharisees in that time period? It's very simple, because Hosea is still a testimony to the Israelites. Still, to this day, that the book of Hosea is written not only to the people who were about to go into captivity, enslavement, to be carried off into exile, but it's written for all of us today and the nations, to the modern day descendants of those who were taken in exile. Now, let me explain. Rabbi Yeshua's ministry was firmly based in Torah. He told his disciples to follow him. In other words, do what I do. Follow me. Rabbi Yeshua is the Aleph that bridges the gap between exile and redemption, between Gola and Geula. And guess what? Rabbi Yeshua's ministry was to send his disciples to the lost tribes. So the book of Hosea was meant to be a testimony not only to the people in Israel at that time who were about to go into captivity, and only a few of them will remember what Hosea said to them, but it was written for us in our time. And that's what he was telling the Pharisees, to pay attention, to go back and read that, because there are some other good things in the book of Hosea, which we're going to talk about. So those feeling that sinful sickness of evil, anti-Semitism and injustice are actually feeling the call to return to Torah. It's a theme that's repeated over and over again in Hosea. Now, I know we read it and we didn't point it out each step along the way, but tonight we're going to dig a little deeper so you can at least point these things out and see them for yourself. The rest of the quote from Matthew 9:11 is this: "For I delight in loyalty and not sacrifice, knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Hosea 6:6. If you step back for a moment and you think, why would Rabbi Yeshua say this to the Pharisees? They hit the temple, right? Why would he say that? Because he knew that within a few decades after his death, the temple would be gone. He told his disciples as much. One day, you wouldn't even have stone upon stone. And that's true. For centuries, the platform where the temple stood was wiped clean, and the only thing on it were weeds. When the Muslims came and they conquered Jerusalem and they took the platform, all they found was weeds growing on stones. The gates that we see today were built by the Muslims. That might be a little shocking to some people. Those gates were not there anymore when they came. They had been torn down. Now, Rabbi Yeshua practiced loyalty to God and followed the habits of the prophets in exile, even though in his time, there was still a temple in Jerusalem. And yet, he followed the practice of the prophets in exile. And what did they do? They faced the temple each day, three times a day, at the time of the daily sacrifices, and they prayed. Rabbi Yeshua gave glory to God only. He gave bracha over his food. He sang songs of praise, and he urged his disciples to follow his example. The Pharisaic rabbis, the rabbis in the period right after the fall of the temple, the forerunners of modern Judaism, correctly understood that the Jewish people, to continue living, would no longer have a Levitical priesthood, no longer be able to offer sacrifices for sin. After the Romans destroyed the second temple, they turned the people to follow the pattern that the prophets in exile had followed, to follow Yeshua's example, to follow prayer with the daily sacrifices, morning, midday, and night. Now, we know that from other scriptures that Yeshua prayed also all throughout the day. And we know that's true for the prophets in exile. Daniel and Ezekiel prayed often. They didn't just pray during the three sacrifice periods, but those three periods, every day, morning, midday, and afternoon or evening. And that's the practice that the Jewish people keep to this day. And that is what we, all of us, should be following. So we should be learning the lesson of Hosea and also following Yeshua's steps. So after the temple was taken from them, the rabbis considered the things that were said, and they replaced the daily sacrifices with prayers, Torah study, and righteous deeds. The temple, the daily sacrifices were temporarily suspended. And I say temporarily because the daily sacrifices will be restored. That is also one of the messages of the prophets. This is a vital part of the redemption, but we can't go into that tonight. So the underlying message of the book of Hosea is return to Adonai, return to the Torah, to the first love, and Adonai will repair the relationship between you and him. As we complete the reading of Hosea, I want us to, each of us, while the readers are reading, to listen for the still, quiet Subtle things. All right? I'll give you some examples. How many times does God plead with the people to come back to him? Hosea 10, verse 12, Hosea 11, verse 7, Hosea 11, verse 11, Hosea 12, verse 6, Hosea 14, verses 1 through 2. And that's only the chapters that we're reading tonight. He continually pleads with the people to come back to him. How Adonai agonizes over punishing his children. Do you think he's different today than he was back then? He agonizes over punishing his children. How he will, and this is really, really important for all of us here tonight, how Adonai will ransom his children from death. Right there, it's in verse, in chapter 13, verse 14. Here is a clear reference to the resurrection and how he gives glimpses of the future world in the kingdom of redemption. You can call it the kingdom of God. You can call it the kingdom of Elohim. You can call it Malkut Elohim. You can call it the kingdom of redemption, or you can call it the redemption. It is the same. Nearly the whole chapter, verse 14, I'm sorry, nearly the whole chapter 14 is about redemption, about Geula. So, lastly, I want us to listen to how God identifies the practices of true religion. Not the outward stuff that we, like to think is religious. God tells us in the book of Hosea what he wants of us, what he expects of us. So tonight we're going to finish. Now let us now read the conclusion of the book of Hosea.
Hosea chapter 10. A luxuriant vine is Israel, who produces fruit for himself. Like the abundance of his fruit, he has multiplied his altars. Like the goodness of his land, they made beautiful sacred pillars. Their heart became smooth. Now they will bear their guilt. He will break down their altars. He will destroy their sacred pillars. Surely now they will say, "We have no king, for we have not feared Adonai." The king, what can he do for us? They spoke words, empty oaths, to make a covenant. But judgment springs up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria will quarrel over the calves of Beth Aven. Indeed, its people will mourn over it, but its priests will tremble over it, for its glory will surely depart from it. It also will be carried to Assyria as tribute to a warring king. Ephraim will receive shame, and Israel will be put to shame by its own counsel. Samaria is being cut off. A king is like a splinter on the surface of the water. The high places of Avon, the sin of Israel, will be destroyed. Thorns and thistles will come up on their altars, and they will say to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall on us." From the days of Gibeah, you have sinned, O Israel. There they took their stand. Will not war over sons of iniquity overtake them in Gibeah? When I desire, I will chasten them, and peoples will gather against them when they are yoked to their two sins. Though Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh, I put a yoke over her fair neck. I will make Ephraim pull, Judah will plow, Jacob will drag a harrow by himself. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in accord with covenant love. Break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek Adonai until he comes and showers righteousness on you. You have plowed up wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of delusion, for you have trusted in your own way and the multitude of your mighty men. A tumult will arise among your people. All your strongholds will be demolished, as Shalman destroyed Beth Arbel in the day of battle, when a mother was dashed in pieces with her children. Just so has Bethel done to you because of your great wickedness. At dawn, the king of Israel will be utterly cut off.
Hosea chapter 11. When Israel was a youth, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. They called out to them, but they departed from their presence. They kept an offering. They kept sacrificing to the Baalim and burning incense up to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them on my arms, but they never acknowledged that I had healed them. With human cords, I was drawing them. Bonds of love, I became to them as one lifting a yoke from their jaws. I bent down to them and fed them. He will not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian will be his king, because they refuse to return. So the sword will fall on his cities and destroy and devour his gate bars because of their own counsels. So my people are bent and turning from me, although they are being called upwards, none will rise up. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I surrender you, Israel? How can I make you like Adonai? How can I make you like Anu? How can I set you at the Boim? My heart is turning over within me. My compassions are kindled. I will not vent my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God, not a man, the only one in the midst of you, and I will not come in fury. They will walk after Adonai, he will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar. The children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like a bird out of Egypt, like a dove out of the land of Assyria. I will settle them in their houses. It's a declaration of Adonai.
Chapter 12. Ephraim surrounded me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. Though Judah roams restlessly with God, yet he is faithful with holy things. Ephraim is grazing on wind and pursuing the east wind. All day he multiplies lies and ruin, making a pact with Assyria while carrying oil to Egypt. Adonai also has a dispute with Judah. He will punish Jacob for his ways, repaying him for his deeds. In the womb, he grasped his brother's heel, and in his vigor, he strove with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and won. He wept and sought his favor. At Bethel, he will find us, and there he will speak with us. Even Adonai Elohei Zevaot. Adonai is his memorial name, so you should return to your God. Keep covenant, loyalty, and justice, and wait for your God continually. A merchant loves to extort with deceptive balances in his hand. Now Ephraim has said, "How rich I have become! I found wealth by myself. I won't be guilty of any sin with any of my property. Yet I have been Adonai, your God, since the land of Egypt. I will yet again make you dwell in tents, as in the days of the Maot. I also spoke through the prophets, and I multiplied visions. Now through the prophets, I will make parables. Since Gilead is full of iniquity, they are utterly worthless. In Gilgad, they sacrifice bulls. Even their altars will become heaps of rocks along the furrows of my field." Now Jacob fled to the field of Aram. When Israel served for a wife, he kept watch
for a wife. So by a prophet, Adonai brought Israel up out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was kept. Ephraim has provoked bitter anger, so his blood guilt will remain on him. His Lord will repay him for his covenant, for his contempt.
Hosea chapter 13. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. He exalted himself in Israel, but he became guilty through Baal and died. But now they sin no more. But now they sin more and more. They made themselves molten images, idols skillfully made from their silver, all of them the work of the craftsmen. They say about them, "Let those who sacrifice kiss the calves." Therefore they will be like morning clouds, like dew passing away early, like chaff blown from the threshing floor, or like smoke from a chimney. Yet I have been Adonai your God since the land of Egypt. You should know no God but me, and there is no Savior apart from me. I myself knew you in the wilderness and in the land of terrible drought. While they were fed, they were satisfied. Filled, their hearts became haughty. Therefore they forgot me. So I became like a lion to them, like a leopard lying in wait by the way. I will meet them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and I will tear open their chests. There I will devour them like a lioness. A beast of the field will rip them to shreds. It has corrupted you, O Israel, for you are against me, against your helper. When then is your king? Where then is your king? So will he have you in all your cities, or your judges to whom you said, "Give me a king and princes"? I give you a king in my anger, and take him away in my wrath. Ephraim is bound by iniquity. His sin is treasured up. Pains of birth come on him. He is not a wise son. When the time comes, he should not delay at the opening of the womb. Should I ransom them from the land of Sheol? Should I redeem them from death? O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your sting? Comfort is hidden in my eyes. Because he is the son of kinsmen, he should have been fruitful. An east wind will come, the wind from Adonai, coming up from the wilderness. His spring will become dry, and his fountain will dry up. He will plunder the treasury of every precious vessel.
Chapter 14. Samaria will bear her guilt, for she has rebelled against her God. They will fall by the sword. Their infants dashed to pieces, their pregnant woman ripped open. Return, O Israel, to Adonai your God, for you have stumbled in your iniquity. Take words with you and return to Adonai. Say to him, take away all iniquity and accept what is good, so we may repay with offerings of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will never again say, our God, to the work of our hands. For with you, orphans find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger will turn away from him. I will be like dew for Israel. He will blossom like a lily and thrust out his roots like Lebanon. His tender shoots will spread out. His beauty will be like an olive tree, and his fragrance will be like Lebanon. Those dwelling in his shadow will return. They will grow grain and bud like a vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more are idols to me? I have responded and observed him. I will be a luxuriant cypress tree. From me, will be found your fruit. Who is wise? Let him discern these things. Who is intelligent? Let him know them. For the ways of Adonai are straight, and the just walk in them, but the wicked stumble in them.
Thank you all for reading tonight. That is the conclusion of the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, like the 12 prophets, is actually filled with layer upon layer of the knowledge of God. We just have to slow down and digest the words. In some ways, we've been trained by our modern style of teaching scripture. It's great for those who know the scriptures. If you know the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, I could say five words and you know exactly where I'm going. But for many of us, that's not true. For many of us, when we hear a scripture, we need to hear the whole thing. And in some ways, we have not heard the word of God because we have not read the whole thing. We have not read an entire book from start to finish and paid attention to the words that are being said. All I'll say is that in the same way that the prophets, I'm sorry, in the same way that the disciples would use a partial quote in the scripture, that should be for us, that should be exactly how we should remember. We should immediately recall the rest of the verse. When we sing a psalm of praise, and we hear a phrase in it, we should remember where that's coming from and what the rest of that means. Because in doing so, you feed yourself, you feed your spirit, and you learn a great deal. So what if we need milk and not steak and potatoes, as Paul says? What if we need just the basic milk? We need to start at the very beginning to understand that there were two kingdoms, that they came from the house of David. Well, that's what this Bible study is for. These Bible studies are designed so that we slow down the pace, that we read each chapter, we sprinkle in a little context, we set the time period, we discuss the places named, and if necessary, we add the biography of the key people so that we can stop and enjoy a full meal. It's a whole meal. Milk, salad, vegetables, meat with a side of bread and butter. That's the way we want to study the scriptures, and that's how we will be doing the rest of the 12. I invite you all to come back again. Next week, we will be looking into the book of Micah. And for those of you who, Micah will be covered in 2 weeks, two sessions. We'll cover chapters 1 through 4, and then we will follow up with chapters 5 through 7. All right, so the book of Micah will finish out this section of the prophets. Join us again next week. I thank you all for coming. Have a great night. Thank you for joining us on our journey through Trei Asar, the 12 prophets. Join us each week as we look in detail at each of the 12 prophets. In the words of Malachi, then those who revere Adonai spoke with each other, and Adonai took notice and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written before him for those who revere Adonai, even those who esteem his name. So they shall be mine, says Adonai Sabaoth, in the day I will make my own special possession. So I will spare them as one spares his son serving him. Malachi 3:16 through 17.